I'm his child. We can go to Israel. I'm going in February. I'm going to come back with news that the tomb is empty. He died, put him in a tomb. But when they went to look for him, they said, where is he? And he said, Mary, I'm right here. Go tell my disciples and Peter that I rose from the dead. Say yes. Say yeah. When he rose up, he gave us an ability to be the same like him. He gave us the ability to be able to rise up from the dead. He was the firstborn from the dead. He was the first fruit from the ground. So whenever you drop me in, you just need to keep on praising, because one day I'm gonna rise up. Say yes. When Jesus cracks the sky, the dead in Christ, they shall rise. Say yes him. And so in other words, I'm planted in him now. When they plant me in the ground, I'm gonna get up. Say yes. With the glory of the Lord. I don't know what I'm gonna look like. Don't matter to me, because what I look like, I'm gonna look like him. I'm gonna be in the light. I'm gonna be the light. Say yes. It's your choice. It's your choice. To bear fruit or to be a failure. In order to do it, you have to delight in the word. You have to delight in the word. And you have to be planted. I don't know why we let so many things blow us away. Blow it away. Lost. When the wind catch it, it's gone. I'll never forget one time I went to the ATM and the wind blew. And my money flew. Some went this way, some went under the car, and some went that way. You talking about somebody getting out trying to find it. But the thing I want you to see is that that was valuable to me. And the wind blew it away. Don't let the wind blow away what's valuable. Your soul is valuable. Don't get driven by what people say. Don't get driven by what you hear. Don't get blown away. I'm not blown away, but I'm positioned. I'm stationary. People hate you. They treat you bad. Keep your position. I'm not going to get out of my position to deal with you. I don't have the problem. You got it. If you got a problem, I can't help it. Don't blame me. Blame God. Because he said, I can be fruitful. All you're looking at is the fruit of my labor. The fruit of me staying positioned and delighting in the word. When God blesses me, you can't get mad because I bear fruit. If you did it, you got the opportunity. Like I said, it's not a reward, but it's a result. It happens because I made that my delight. That's my, all my attention and my affection is on this. And I'm planted by the river of water.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries. Louisiana, Pastor Altoria Hogan Sr. Our church is located 1401 Bell Street, Magotus, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, County, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, County, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship, and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday. 9:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
I want to call your attention to Hebrews 13 and 8 today, but I'm going to take a separate or different approach from the 8 a.m. service. I want to talk about the same Jesus forever, but I want to use pretty much those 9 words in verse 8 of chapter 13 of Hebrews as a launching pad. And I want to tell a story that will share what I'm trying to say in this message about Jesus. So I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8. And when you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Begin reading now.
Jesus Christ. Yesterday, and today, and forever.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I told you for a theme, I want to talk about Jesus Christ, Jesus, the same Jesus, forever. Jesus Christ, the word says, the same yesterday, and today, and forever. Now, I really want to focus in this service on the first portion, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday. One of the things that's most important in understanding this simple text is if you can understand what he did yesterday, then you should not have any problems knowing what he will do today. And what he does today, he will do forever. Because that was the way God designed it in eternity. And what I love about Jesus is Jesus makes clear the word and the will and the way of his Father. He said, I do always those things which please my Father. He said, I must work the works of him while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Jesus makes clear that everything he's about is connected with pleasing his heavenly Father. And he was sent from glory as the second person of the Godhead, as the Son of God, to become the Son of Man, born of a virgin, to be able to do what only he was able to do and to undo what the devil had done. See, one of the things that I love about Jesus of yesterday is recognizing that God sent him on a mission that nobody else but Jesus could handle. And Jesus came down and he knew his purpose. He knew his purpose. Jesus had no problem with humbling himself in his position because he knew who he was, and yes, he knew whose he was. He let deity as the Son of God go to become humanity as the Son of Man. Now, what's interesting about this is, though Joseph is his earthly father, Joseph had nothing to do with his biological makeup. The Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, caused her to conceive, and Jesus was then conceived in the womb. In other words, Jesus doesn't have Joseph's DNA. Jesus has God the Father's DNA. And everything about Jesus is that represents his Father. So therefore, one of the things you've got to know is his greatest nemesis here on planet Earth or in the spirit realm is Satan himself. The same one in heaven who wanted to take over God's position. God had to kick him out of heaven, and one third of the imps or angels at that time who believed that he could do it, and he kicked them all out of heaven. And Jesus said, I beheld them falling as lightning. The power of God kicked them out of heaven, out of glory. Why? And as a point to that, because one of the things God recognized is, if you allow evil to flourish and to function, it can cause all those there who might not yet be committed to turn and follow him. So he moved the temptation away from those who were committed to him at that time. Now, when Jesus comes to earth, it's because when God made Adam and Eve in Jesus, God and the Holy Spirit's image, Satan came down and spoiled them. But God had a plan to redeem man. And you've got to recognize Jesus Christ was that same Jesus that was the sacrificial lamb that God had slain from the foundation of the world. Let me make it plain. Even before man messed up, God set up Jesus to bring him back to him. God knew what man would do because he made him a free moral agent. And that meant he had a choice to make. Would he follow God or would he follow the dictates and the temptations of the evil one? Well, we know the story. Adam and Eve believed the devil instead of God. And from that point on, they lost the spiritual connection with God. And then in the flesh, they began to die. But God had a plan for the paradise lost. His plan for the paradise would be regained through the second Adam. Not the first Adam, but the second Adam represents Jesus, the last Adam. After Jesus, there is no hope for man. After Jesus, there is no help for man. After Jesus, there is nothing that man can count on or depend on save Jesus. And so, my brothers and sisters, one of the things that I love about this truth is we have got to know Jesus, the Word. The Word. Jesus became the Word personified. Personified. In other words, he became the living, breathing, walking, talking, living Word on planet Earth. John 1 and 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, Jesus. And the Word, Jesus, was with God. And the Word, Jesus, was God. Verse 2 says, the same, talking about Jesus, was with God in the beginning. And yet that same Jesus, God said, to be here on earth what man needed. I told the 8 o'clock service, the first part of that, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, deals with the primary reference of Jesus. He's the first, the original. But secondly, and today, deals with the present reality. He's Jesus today. He's Jesus today. As a matter of fact, Hebrews 7:25 tells us that he ever liveth to make intercession for us. He's still living, but now he's sitting on the right hand of the Father making intercession. In other words, every time the devil tries to accuse us, every time the devil tries to bring up our wrong and our mess and our mistakes, Jesus is right there reminding his Father of the blood he shed to pay for your sins. And then the third part of that, and forever, deals with the permanent resolution. Jesus is God's permanent resolution for man's situation, for man's salvation, for man's sins, for man's sorrows, for man's sicknesses. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Let me say three things about him and I'm gonna move on. One, Jesus Christ is the anointed one. The anointed one. The name Jesus is his personal name. That means savior or salvation. It comes from the Hebrew word Yeshua. Yeshua. Christ means the anointed one, from the Greek word Christos. Christos. He is the anointed one, the Savior, Jesus Christ, our salvation. Salvation is not in any other name than that of Jesus. Second thing I want to tell you about is Jesus is all sufficient. He's our all sufficient one, our source, our supply, and our strength. Everything we need is in Jesus. See, when you get to know him, you'll know what he can do. You'll know by what he has done. And you'll know because what he's done once, he's willing to do again. And he is no respecter of persons. So if your faith lines up with the word of God, the will of God, and the way of God, Jesus will do for you what he did for all others yesterday. Now, we weren't there yesterday, but we're here today. Jesus was there yesterday. But the truth of the matter is, because his word is still here, he is still here today. He's present through his word. Everything Jesus spoke out of his mouth is recorded in his word. And the same thing they heard him say out of his mouth, we have the same confidence in that same word today. And that means Jesus is going to back up everything that's in his word. And then thirdly, I want to tell you, he is the I am that I am, the Son of God. In Exodus, his father was I am. But in the New Testament, Jesus is the I am. He was always in his father. I told you what John 1 and 1 says, but can I take you back to Genesis and show you where he is? Genesis 1 says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Verse 2 says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the water. So in verse 1, you've got God. Verse 2, you've got the Spirit. But let's look at Jesus in verse 3. And God said, who said? God said, let there be light. And the word says, and there was light. Well, you say, well, I still don't see where Jesus is. Well, let me give you an enactment of what God said. If you will, God stood up on nothing and spoke out something that would come to pass. And when he spoke, the first thing he said is, we need to lighten up this dark situation. So when he stood and said, let there be light, this is what he did. Jesus is in the Father. Jesus began to shine. Jesus said, I am the what? Light of the what? He didn't say I was the sunshine of the world. He said I was the light. And so Jesus was right there in the Father all the while. That's the Jesus of yesterday. And so my brothers and sisters, what we've got to know is the more you learn about Jesus, the only thing you need to connect with Jesus is the fact that he's the same. No change, no difference. He is who he say he is. And he can do what he said he can do. And I think the people of God need to reacquaint themselves with the Jesus of yesterday. Because I got news for you. If you get to know the Jesus of yesterday, well, you'll learn that everything you have need of, Jesus has already fixed it for somebody else. And if he's fixed it for somebody else, how many of you know he'll fix it for you? I want to tell you the story I've shared some years ago. Yeah, that was this church whose pastor had died. And they decided they would call a new pastor. But they called a young seminarian who had graduated with all the degrees. And he came to this church and began to preach with all of his credentials. And everything that he said was so scholarly, he preached right over the people's head. He spoke to those people about some of everything in life, in science, in nature, on and on and on. But very little Jesus did the people hear. And one day, one of the senior deacons told a young preacher, listen, what you need to know is to go down by Old Man Jones Church and sit in one of his services. And the young preacher said, well, I'll go and do that. And he went down to Reverend Jones Church. And Reverend Jones was an old man. He was an old man with much power in the Holy Ghost. And every time that man stood, it's as if Jesus showed up in the building. The Holy Ghost showed up in the building. People didn't leave there the same way they came. But every message he preached, it had something to do with Jesus. And the young man introduced himself and he said, sir, I'd like to have an audience with you. And the old preacher said, well, son, that'll be fine. Why don't you come by my house tomorrow morning? Every morning I'm sitting on my porch in my rocking chair with my coffee in one hand and my Bible in my lap. Come on over and let's have a conversation. So the young man came over and introduced himself more formally and told the old man who he was and what his credentials were. Told him he had a BA degree, a master's degree, and a PH degree. The old man said, is that right, son? He said, well, I got a BA degree, but I also have a BS degree. He said, and I got both of them from WWU. The young man said, from where? He said, Whosoever Will University. He said, I've got my master's of trials and hardships. He said, and I got that from KB University. The boy said, is that from Kansas Baptist University? The old man said, no, that's from Nebone University. He said, I got my PhD just as well. He said, and I got it from MLU. The boy said, MLU? He said, you talking about your PhD? He said, yes, sir. I praise him daily. I got it from the Mainline University. Jesus is on the Mainline. Tell him just what you want. He said, sir, let me tell you one thing. He said, you can go to college, yeah, and you can go to school, but if Jesus is not the head of your life, you're just an educated fool. He said, listen, son. He said, let me tell you, I'm going to come to your church and hear you preach on next Sunday. And he went to the young man's church, and he was talking about all kinds of things. Aristotelian arguments, Socratic syllogisms, Platonian platitudes. He was talking about all kinds of things, talking about when the validity of one's daily phenomena ceases to be of a prudent criteria, he thus becomes truncatorily as well as totalitarianistically inclinated. He kept on talking about all kinds of things. The old man saw folk out there with dictionaries, Bibles, and all other reference materials, but I didn't hear no witnesses to the word he was preaching. At the end of service, he asked the old man, sir, how did I do? Impressed with his ability to preach a scholarly message.